a few words, but I shall go through the chapter. A few words from Philippians 3 and from verse 13. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you can be sure at my age that anything that speaks about forgetfulness interests me greatly. I don't remember very much, and I need to be reminded of many things. And when Paul says here, forgetting the things which are behind, it does ring a bell. Though his forgetfulness, of course, was deliberate. It wasn't just natural because of age and infirmity, but was something that he deliberately did. And he speaks of this one thing. Now, when these things occur in the scripture, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and Mary and Martha, and the rich young ruler, when one thing is spoken of, it doesn't mean that there is only one thing that we should regard in our Christian life. But there is one thing which is urgent for us now. That currently this is the one great issue. And so we think of this one thing which Paul says that in order to reach what is before, he forgets those things which are behind. Well, if we want to think of one thing, let us turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 42. Luke chapter 10 and verse 42. I'll read you the whole little bit from verse 39. Martha received the Lord Jesus into her home, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha had a failing. We might say it was a character failing. But the Lord Jesus says that she needs one thing. Mary has that one thing. She comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. She listens to his teaching. She loves to be with him. But Martha, all she can think about is getting the meal ready. Jesus would have gone without the meal quite happily, he did on other occasions, and would rather have had Martha listening to him carefully. He loved Martha and he loved Mary. But he said, well, Mary has chosen that good part. Now, he didn't say that, you see, in such a way as to say, well, Mary has chosen that good part, Martha, but you haven't. And you never will. The reason he said it was that she might discover that one thing needful, that she might be with the Lord Jesus, that she might worship him, that she might listen to him, that she might be freed from all manner of encumbrances to take note of him. So one thing was what Martha needed at that time. Paul speaks here of one thing to be forgotten so that he could progress towards Christ. As a pastor, I know that people cling on to the past, sometimes bitterly, sometimes ruefully and regretfully. It may be that a life-changing event, a tragedy, an accident befell them, and nothing can ever be the same. And being natural, not believers, but being natural, we think about it. The world speaks of post-trauma syndrome. That's what the world says in recognizing that these things occur. But the Christian is to forget them. Now, it's not an instruction just to forget. It's to substitute something much more wonderful for the thing that is over and past. And indeed, that thing which is cause our misery is the very means by which we may become blessed. You remember Joseph. You remember how Joseph was taken by his brothers. They were planning to kill him. They threw him without water into a blazing hot sandy pit. And when they thought they could make a profit of him, they sold him into slavery in effect. But Joseph, when he became the servant of Potiphar, forgot the things that were behind. He did have the dreams, and he therefore knew, seeing that only the Lord revealed dreams, that the Lord had given him the dreams that his parents would one day be dependent on him and his brethren one day be dependent on him. And doubtless that kept him going. But the past did not worry him. He set about serving Potiphar to the best of his ability. Till we read that Potiphar had no idea of all the administration of his affairs because Joseph did it. And then, of course, you remember that Potiphar's wife tried to incriminate Joseph. Joseph fled from her, resisted the temptation. Potiphar's wife misled her husband, and he was very angry, and he put Joseph in prison, totally unfairly, totally unjustly, for doing that which was right. But again, Joseph so served. You see, if Potiphar was the governor of the prison, he so served the warder of the prison that he didn't know anything about the logistics of what was going on. Joseph did it all. Now, all these things prepared him for his ultimate blessing, for his being able to take a top post in Pharaoh's court. So far from hindering his progress, the things which he forgot, which were part of his life, which another might not have forgotten, were destined to lead him into the highest of high honors. So Paul forgets the things which are behind, and we'll look at what they are sometimes. But there are other things than accidents or misfortune. There can be illness in the run of things which changes our whole life. And then there can be the necessity to move home for a new job, or and it's not such a nice place, and we haven't got the friends that we had before. And so we dwell on it. We mooch about it. We regret it. It goes over and over in our mind till something in our inner self is damaged. And this is not the way for a believer. There is something much, much better for a believer. And it is to forget the things that were behind. Paul spells it out in a way that may be helpful for us. He lists the things that gave him pleasure. He says, of course, that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrew, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He loved all these things. He loved to be blameless in the Old Testament law. He loved to be a Jew. He loved to persecute the Christians. He loved to show great zeal for God and to think that this was pleasing God. But he said, when the Lord visited him, he counted all these things but none. All the things that had pleased him, all the things that had been deeply ingrained into him, all the things that he'd grown up with, all the things that were part and parcel of his life, he gladly gave up, counted them but dumb, but worthless, but revolting. All for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself to him. For Christ, he counted all things but loss. And that word but is a particular usage of the English language. It is emphatic. I counted all things loss indeed, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only those things, but I count all my old life. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed in Christ. We still, in our day, ourselves may say we are in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. But we find it a bit more difficult because we do not see Christ. And Paul did have that experience on the Damascus Road. Because we are living in days so many thousands of years later, we do find it difficult to put away the past. Because we are never perfect to put away all our sins and all our weaknesses. But one thing is to be our aim. And Paul says, it is to forget the things that are behind. Now, we all have things that are behind us. Some of us do suffer from life-threatening, life-changing events in our lives. Some people have undergone mental trouble that has affected the whole of their life ever since. There are those who were not able to have the career that once they thought they would really appreciate and like. But forgetting all these things, particularly forgetting the regrets, particularly forgetting the bitternesses, particularly forgetting the adjustments which we, or the making adjustments that we found so, so difficult. We forget the things that are behind. And Paul says, it's because I'm looking forward to seeing Christ. He says a bit more than that, but he says, it's the looking forward to seeing Christ, the taking up with the thinking of him and the looking for him and the love of him, which just drives away all the things and makes me forget them. It isn't that I say to myself, I must forget it, I must forget it, I must forget it. He doesn't say that. He says that the thinking about the Lord Jesus, the working for him, the looking for his return, the remembrance of his kindness to him enables him to forget all the things that were bad and that spoiled and that brought him down. He says, I long to be found in Christ, not with the righteousness of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God through faith. Now, all of you listening to me tonight have that. All of you have become saved. All of you have rejected your righteousnesses, which are as filthy rags, and you are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God in him, in Christ, perfection. These things are ours. And so powerful are they, and so overwhelming in some ways, and so thrilling concerning the future, that forgetting isn't a misery. It's our involvement, our being close to the Lord Jesus, our serving of him faithfully as we can. All these things based in that salvation through faith in his blood that leads us on into excellent things. Paul says that I may know him. Funny thing to say, isn't it? He had met with Christ on the Damascus Road. And when he says that I may know him, he means that I may dwell with him in my heart and get to know him better. All of those of you who are married know what it is to have first love and then to get one to know one another better. And it's that sort of knowledge of which Paul is speaking, that I may know him. I want to know more about him. I want to have more of his presence. I want to have more of his direction and guidance. I want to have him close to me all the time. I want him to manage my affairs. I want him to cope with the logistics of all my life and my money and my affairs. So this is what Paul was saying. These wonderful things enabled him to forget the things which were before and to count them, however wonderful they were. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, to forget them and count them, but no, to reject them, not to want them anymore, because he had Christ. And he sought also to know the power of his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is a key doctrine. By the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we know that our resurrection personally is absolutely assured. We know that the power that raised him from the dead will one day raise us from the dead. So Paul desires to know that power. And he's going to say a little bit more about that in a moment. but he desires to know more of that power, but also the fellowship of his sufferings. When he thinks of his Saviour and thinks of the suffering he endured on the cross, when he thinks of the suffering that he endured from wicked men, wicked rulers, his own flesh, Paul says, then I don't expect other than to be ill-treated by the Jews. I don't expect it other than to be lowered down in a basket. These things don't trouble me because I have something far, far greater. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ, and in that matter of suffering, if need be. Now, Paul's suffering, when he uses the word, was for the sake of the gospel. But we do not use that as an excuse for saying it doesn't mean our suffering. Because you see, the suffering which Paul endured for the gospel had to do with stripes, being abandoned at sea, had to do with being rejected by Jews. It was physical. And so it is that when we suffer ourselves in this world, we say, well, it's not distinctively suffering for Christ. Lots of people who are not Christians go through what I go through, perhaps some of them worse than I do. But it is permissible to say that we are joined with Christ's sufferings. He came to identify himself with his people who live in the world. And we, in whatever suffering we have, learn what it meant to him to suffer in his way. Being made conformable, says Paul, unto his death. Even as much as that. This overrides all those things which he now rejects and counts as love. He wants to be like Christ. One day he'll be with Christ forever, but now while he's on the earth, he wants to serve Christ. And he wants to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, in verse 10, we have the word resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And then we have in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection, you see, occurs in both verses, but it is not the same word. The second time it is a compound, a much more powerful word. So what he is saying, I desire to know Christ, and to know what it is to be raised like he was raised. But I desire to attain, and here's the word, the compound word, to the out-resurrection from the dead. Now we know from the scriptures that all will be raised, including the unbelievers and judged. But he looks forward for himself to this resurrection of the just, of those who believe, out of all the number of others who shall be raised to be condemned in judgment to hell, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, if by any means I might attain unto the out-resurrection of the dead. You know, our translators have gone for the same word. Nothing wrong with that. But there is just that subtle switch of emphasis. He longs to see Christ, and he longs that when Christ shall return, his body shall be raised from the dead. He longs for these things. And he says, it hasn't happened yet. I'm not perfect, but I chase these things. I follow after. I long for these things. I look for these things. So this one thing I do, because I'm not perfect, because I haven't got there yet, because I haven't entered into these wonderful things of resurrection and being close with Christ to see him, because I haven't got that far, I do one thing. I forget the things which are before. No matter what they were, no matter whether they were good things, or no matter if they were bad things that befell us, the seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, the longing to know him in our hearts, the longing to see him at his return, the longing to be gathered with all his people from out of all those who are being raised from the dead. This outnumbers all the other things. He forgets, he says, I put them away. They don't come into remembrance. They don't bother me. They don't worry me. Because I have something much more marvelous to grasp hold of. Though everything isn't perfect, and though Paul, of course, was going to be put to death, some of it, what was said about him was unfair. Yet nevertheless, he looks forward to that which is wonderful, because it's in Christ. If the suffering involved Christ. It didn't make him any less enthusiastic or any less regretful of putting things of the past behind him. Because he says, I'm not there yet. I forget the things that are behind in reaching forth to those things which are before. When I was a young cyclist and used to go cycling with others and was by far the slowest, the others were very kind who were in the party of cyclists. They always waited for me at the top, but the one who needed the rest most, well, they left as soon as they got there. But I needed the rest more than they had had 5 minutes or 6 minutes. I've never forgotten that. But we reach forward to the things that are before. They led the way, I managed to get up, they set out again, and then I managed to continue before. But the Christian life is reaching forth to the things that lie ahead of us. It's the reaching forth to the Christ and to all that he has for us. I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. Picture of athletics. Different occasion, he says, there's only one receives a prize. And of course, in any given race, that's true. But we all receive prizes in the sense that we all press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. What is this high calling? Now, the word is just a simple three-lettered word. It means above. Can either mean from above, the calling from above, from on high, or the calling to above, in order to be taken to be on high. But the high calling. The Lord has called us to triumph. The Lord has called us to victory. The Lord has called us to eternal life. And these things, in the other sense, are high. They're way beyond us. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're absolute. Things that the Lord has prepared for those who love him. It is a high calling. Some modern translations call it the upward calling. That limits it a bit. If the Lord is calling us from on high, of course he's calling us to go up. But if you translate it upward, you don't give the emphasis to the calling from above that lifts us up. But it's all there. He presses towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And I just simply felt that I wanted to remind you, see, I don't like must when it comes to religion. I must do this or I must do that. And the whole approach of saying, I must forget it. I know the scripture says I must do these things. It's being overwhelmed, being overtaken by the sheer power and glory and might of the things that have become part of our life that we don't have to be any must about it. They've taken over, they've lifted us up, they've given us a new direction. Never mind about what the old might have done or might not have done. Been. I know what I wanted to do before I became a Christian. But I don't know that I've got there. I think some bad things might have happened to me before I even got there. But the Lord transformed. And the transformation of the Lord, of which Paul is speaking, enables us to put away, forget the things that were before. But you may say to the Lord now, what are the things? Or I know the things that have changed me, have changed my life, and I've regretted them all my life. Well, confess them to him. Say, I desire so to know thee, so to love thee, that I will be overwhelmed by thee. I began with the one thing of Mary and Martha. I finish with the other one thing, which is in Luke 18. And you remember that there was a man who came running to the Lord Jesus and looking for him to be saved. And he ran to him and he said, I will follow thee. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus spoke to him. And during the conversation, the man himself confessed, really, that his works were inadequate. To which Jesus replied, one thing thou lackest. It applied to his current position. And his current position was that of an unbeliever, of a man who loved his possessions and who loved the glory of the position he had in the world and who would have put Christ second. But that good part is to put him first. And because he knew that in putting the Lord Jesus second, he had gone away from the Lord Jesus and had rejected him. He was very unhappy. So at the time we are unbelievers, one thing is needful. And that one thing is to be saved. It doesn't matter what we do in our lives. At any time, at any point, if we are not saved, if that one thing is missing, then we shall be eternally lost. Should be the one aim of our life. And when that one thing is achieved, then we may learn the other one things. But there's always one thing that is relevant for our time. It may be to be saved. I think not among us here, but among people we know. It may be to have that good part of fellowship with the Lord. It's possible to read the Bible, isn't it? But you don't have fellowship with the Lord while you're doing it. Why not? Is he who's saying what he's saying? Why don't you talk to him about what you read and say? Why don't you have a two-way conversation? Why not these things? Why indeed? But there is one thing. And as our life goes on, different things become the one thing that we must do now. And I was just concerned that there are those believers, I know many, who still are bitter, still are troubled by the way that life has led them. and by the grace of the Lord, being tied up with him, being caught up with him, being embraced with him, these things will appear to us as nothing, as dung, as worthless. May the Lord help us in these things. Amen.